This is carrying a concealed weapon and other crimes to commit while being a Dora Belle Dearheart. A Discworld fanfiction written by Netgirl Y2K and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated G
and takes place sometime after the novel Going Postal.
Adora Belle Dearheart had a number of problems in life. These were, in no particular order, Moist von Lipwig. Her name was Adora Belle Dearheart. It is a well-known fact that anyone with a name like Adora Belle Dearheart will have the personality of a hammerhead shark on an enforced vegetarian diet. Adora Belle herself was not the exception to this rule. She hadn't had a cigarette in nearly an hour. Moist von Lipwig, again. She was currently under arrest for a number of crimes that were only crimes in the factual, technical sense. Which, as most criminals will tell you, is no reason to go around arresting people. "I'm sorry about this little misunderstanding," said Lady Sybil Vimes, née Ramkin, the Duchess of Ankh, and the type of woman who believed that there was no problem so big that it couldn't be sorted out by everyone sitting down for a cup of tea and deciding to be jolly sensible for 5 minutes. "I'm sure we'll have it straightened out in no time." Somehow, Adora Belle doubted that. "Can I get someone to make you another cup of tea?" Lady Sybil asked kindly.
"How about a cigarette?"
Lady Sybil looked reproachfully at the "We thank you for not smoking" sign. "I don't think so, dear." It all started when Lord Vetinari decided that the students at Unseen University should pay for the privilege of their education as a way of filling the city's coffers. Vetinari was not the first patrician to suggest that the university should be making more of a contribution to the economy of Ankh-Morpork. In times past, this suggestion would have been met by the Arch-Chancellor of the university saying, "An interesting suggestion, my lord. Oh, dearie me, you seem to have spontaneously turned into a mollusk. Now, what were you saying about tuition fees?" Tragically for the students of Unseen University, the current Arch-Chancellor was Mustrum Ridcully, a wizard of firm convictions. Mainly, the conviction that students were the flies in the ointment of university life.
"An interesting suggestion, my lord," said Ridcully.
He did not attempt to turn the patrician into a mollusk, although many people would have paid to see him try. Admittedly, through a very powerful telescope from a long, long way away. It is a particular sort of young man. Young women were not admitted to Unseen University because girls never became wizards. They became witches. Generally, witchcraft involved a lot more hard work and early mornings than wizardry. But as witches were encouraged to wear fetching matte black and were excused from singing "A Wizard's Staff Has a Knob on the End," most witches considered this more than fair. Who wished to become a wizard? The sort of young man who didn't want to do any heavy lifting or get up early in the mornings, and was comfortable wearing flowing purple robes with an embroidered moon and star motif. That being the case, it was a while before word about the new price of education filtered down to the students. But when they did hear about it, they were not best pleased. "They expect us to pay for our education?" said one horrified trainee wizard.
"They expect us to get an education, too?" moaned another, flinching as though he thought that he might be at any moment hit with an unexpected flying education.
The young wizards staged a number of protests, with varying degrees of success. The 3-day-long sit-in at the Pink Pussycat Club did little to change Vetinari's mind, but it was, for many of the students, an education. The biggest of these was a protest march up the River Ankh to the palace. The protest route was lined with watchmen, the usual audience for Ankh-Morpork Street Theatre, and Adora Bell Dearheart, who had a cigarette in one hand and a crossbow in the other. She was standing in front of the Gollum Trust in order to discourage anyone who thought of livening up his day with some vandalism and casual racism. She was planning to discourage people quite strongly. To be honest, Adora Bell probably didn't need the crossbow. There is a certain sort of woman who looks good in a severely plain dress and weapons-grade high heels, who always seems to be thinking, "I could hurt you and you'd like it." Adora Bell was not that sort of woman. She was the sort who appeared to be thinking, "I could hurt you and I'd like it." And, well, some of the student wizards had only heard about young women second or third hand, and several of them burst into tears just walking past Adora Bell. She would have considered the day an unqualified success, if not for what happened next. You see, qualified wizards knew that often the most important thing about magic was not using it, but some of the students hadn't read that far in the syllabus. And historically, there have always been a few bad apples, wizards who thought that just because you could set things on fire with a word, that meant that you should. Adora Bell swore. This is an understatement. She didn't just say hell or damn. She swore strongly enough to shock sailors who had memorized the entire contents of the Ankh-Morpork Dictionary of Naughty Words. As a carelessly tossed fireball passed just over her head and crashed into the facade of the Gollum Trust. Other people might have become alarmed or frightened, but Adora Bell had a 100-a-day habit, and footwear that could, and had, made grown men cry. A little magical fire didn't scare her. She got angry. "Right," she began, grinding her cigarette out on the cobbles and heading toward the offender. "Don't be so silly," said a voice in her ear. The voice implied that silliness was the worst sin its owner could think of. "Get in here." Adora Bell found herself towed backwards into a carriage. She turned to face her abductor. Adora Bell's interest in people who weren't baked from clay was limited, but even she recognized the Duchess of Ankh. There were a number of ways to describe Lady Sybil. A miracle of corsetry with a kind smile was generally considered to be a good compromise between accuracy and politeness. Many people, when faced with a genuine member of the aristocracy, would struggle for something ingratiating to say. Adora Bell settled for not kicking her in the shins. "That is, was my office." "The Gollum Trust?" said Lady Sybil. "Oh, of course, you must be Miss Dearheart. I've heard so much about you."
"You have?"
"Oh, yes, wonderful work you do there." Adora Bell felt herself thawing, only slightly, towards Lady Sybil. Plus, the carriage smelled strongly of smoke, which always made her feel more at home. She sat down and heard something under the seat cough. "Oh, poor little thing," said Lady Sybil. "I was taking him to the Sunshine Sanctuary for sick dragons when the carriage was stopped." Adora Bell crouched down. She'd always rather liked swamp dragons. They were useful if you didn't have any matches on you. "May I?" she asked. And without waiting for an answer, she produced a cigarette and held it up to the little swamp dragon, which, obligingly, coughed up a flame. "He likes you," said Lady Sybil approvingly. Swamp dragons always liked Adora Bell. She smelled right to them. "So," said Adora Bell, blowing a smoke ring, "how long do you think this is going to carry on for?" "Oh, I'm sure the watch will be along shortly to sort it all out." It would be difficult to attach the word shortly to the watch's arrival, but arrive they did. Troll officers first, with other, more squashable, watchmen bringing up the rear. The door to Lady Sybil's carriage was opened, amputated, really, by Constable Dorful, the only golem on the watch. "Good afternoon, Lady Sybil. Is everything well?" "Yes, officer. Is the..." "A fray," Dwarfel provided. "A fray, yes. Is it all over?" "The crowd has been dispersed." Adora Bell smiled cruelly. "When a golem disperses a crowd, it stays dispersed." "Good afternoon, Miss Dearheart." Adora Bell's smile turned genuine. Dwarfel had been the first free golem in Ankh-Morpork. Adora Bell had helped him to set up the Golem Trust. "I am afraid you are under arrest, Miss Dearheart."
"What? What on earth for?"
"Mr. Vimes ordered that anyone carrying a weapon was to be arrested." Adora Bell shoved the crossbow behind her back. "That is carrying a concealed weapon, Miss Dearheart," said Dwarfel. "You are also under arrest for going out equipped to commit a crime and malicious lingering." "Malicious lingering is defined by the laws and ordinances of Ankh-Morpork as, 'I really, really want to arrest you, and I'm not about to be put off by the fact that you have not, as yet, committed a crime.'"
"I was inside a carriage, Dwarfel."
But the golem stepped away from the carriage holding Adora Bell's arm. Being rather attached to her arm, Adora Bell followed. Lady Sybil leaned out of the carriage and said, "We'll catch you up at Sadopolis Yard. I'm sure we'll have this all sorted out in no time at all." The watch house was full of nervous policemen. They were nervous because, one, they had resolved a situation by arresting a large number of people, and were now faced with another situation in deciding what to do with all of them. And two, the commander's wife was bustling about making tea for people. Lady Sybil handed Adora Bell another cup of tea. "Should I send someone to fetch your young man?" she asked, glancing at her engagement ring. "Best not. Moist gets a little funny around watchmen."
"Nervous?
Guilty, really." In the corner, a huddle of watchmen were debating Adora Bell's arrest. It had already been decided to drop the charges of going equipped to commit a crime and carrying a concealed weapon, because given her usual footwear and general attitude, they'd have been as well arresting her for repeatedly being Adora Bell Dearheart. The laws and ordinances of Ankh-Morpork were consulted, but it turned out that this was not, in point of fact, an actual crime.
"Sybil!"
Commander Vimes arrived out of breath because he'd run all the way from the palace. The message he'd received had said, "Lady Sybil, Miss Dearheart, crossbow." And nothing else, so obviously he'd been expecting more blood. He stumbled to a halt in front of his wife and awkwardly patted her shoulder. The watchman present shuffled with embarrassment at this uncharacteristic display of affection from their commander.
"Are you all right, dear?"
"Fine, Sam," said Lady Sybil. They said someone had a crossbow." "That was me," said Adora Bell. "She was protecting me, Sam," said Lady Sybil. That came as news to Adora Bell, but she supposed that she wouldn't have minded giving a scruffy student a slap round the ear for Lady Sybil if it had come right down to it. "That's right." One of the watchmen on duty, seeing his way out of the Adora Bell Dearheart philosophical quandary he'd found himself in, said, "That's right, we were just, giving her a cup of tea and writing out a receipt for this crossbow that she'd been good enough to hand into the watch." "Spike?" Moist had surfaced from wherever it was that he sloped off whenever the watch was around, and had come with Adora Bell to the wreckage of the Golem Trust. At least no one was hurt, and it isn't as though the golems are going to mind. Adora Bell turned on him with fire in her eyes.
"I mind!"
Said Moist. "There's someone behind you." "Nice try, Slick." "No, really," said Moist. At the same time as Lady Sybil said, "He's right, you know. Hello, Miss Dearheart. Then this must be your young man. Of course I recognize the Postmaster General. Adora Bell was reluctantly impressed. Very few people recognized Moist without his trademark golden suit. And what can we do for you, Lady Sybil? That was Moist, slipping into charm the mark mode. Adora Bell rolled her eyes. I wanted to give Miss Dearheart this. The papers Lady Sybil handed over were the deeds to a property in Treacle Mine Road. I meant what I said. You're doing splendid work with the golems, and Sam and I aren't using it. You should come to dinner with us one night. Her gaze lingered shrewdly on Moist. Both of you. Adora Bell smiled with malicious glee at the idea of making Moist go to dinner with a senior policeman. In the end, Lord Vetinari didn't introduce tuition fees in exchange for the faculty of Unseen University resuming their default position of not teaching the students any magic. The few students who'd started the riot spent the rest of their university careers doing the washing up in the dungeon dimensions. The rest of the students were banned from the Pink Pussycat Club. Adora Bell did make Moist go to dinner with Commander Vimes. The end.